All right, you guys ready to get this started?
Let's go.
All right, next level mindset, baby. Coming at you, ready to do another one. So perk your ears up and ready to get another nugget. Here we go. All right, so number three. So we went from one to two.
Here we are, three.
What the heck, man?
One more time.
We're moving one at a time, right? Okay, so hey, good week so far. Had a great Father's Day. Had some brisket. You guys had some of it.
Yeah, brisket was phenomenal.
Right? Cool.
Yeah.
Work's going all right. So, okay, cool. So we have in the building 17. Welcome, man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome.
Good to have you. Thanks for coming.
So I don't want to call him an up-and-coming because you've been doing this for a little bit.
I've been doing this for a while, yeah.
But based off of, like, people not knowing you, I've got to say up and coming, right?
For sure.
We'll give you that. But so got a new EP that new track that just came out, right?
Yes, favorite
so
time.
Why don't you give a little bit of that so we know people know who he's talking to, and we'll kind of talk about it a little bit after that.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh la 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 la, I need your loyal girl forever, loyal mama mama. And I understand it comes with patience and time, but I would make these jealous hoes forever waiting on us. So tell me, would you like that? Baby girl, I know you like to fight, I like to fight back. And every time you leave, you better bring it right back. And if you ever need me, girl, you know I'm Mr. Nice Set. I'm not gonna lie.
Alright, that's all I can give him. I don't want to give him too much.
Okay.
You heard that?
I haven't listened to you yet. Yeah. I'm sitting here talking with you.
Right.
Okay. So I've known 17 for quite a couple years, right? And so 17, like just going back, I mean, jumping, I don't want to say house to house, but jumping literally from city to city.
Trying to find
your way from fitting in and trying to do things that you want to do. And you know, I know that 41 told me that you've been trying to do this for a while, and man, that's the first time I've heard this, and now I hear you're like a stud. So tell us about yourself,
man. Oh man, nah, thank you. I just make music, man. You know, I love to make music, so I wouldn't consider a stud, but I do want to say I'm committed, or I'm dedicated to making music, and I think, you know, the champions come out of who's dedicated the hardest, you know, next level mindset. So, you know, I gotta put that on there.
Might have to get him a t-shirt.
Yeah, right. Uh-oh, I think I earned some, but yeah, so I just make music, man. You know, I remember 41 was telling me he really likes the melodies, so I definitely like to incorporate melodies. I don't just rap, so I like to do melodic rapping, sometimes EDM type of music, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're all over the place. Like, I mean, I said it to you before, straight up, I've never heard anyone be able to sing and be on a beat as key as you. You know, like I said it before, Chance the Rapper's really the only one I can think of off the top of my head that can do it the same.
It's crazy.
But I mean, we went to high school together, played football together.
I know.
That's huge. Like, have you even heard? Yeah, I heard.
Do they even know who Chance the Rapper is?
I don't know.
What are you calling us?
Oh, they got sour faces. No, don't do it like that.
They sell in like the grocery stores, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, rappers.
Not that kind of shit.
Oh, okay.
But 17. So, I mean, we play football together. You know, we know each other. But back in high school, you were working at a retirement home with aspirations to be a firefighter. And here we are now, graduated about 3 years ago when you're rapping now. How did that fall into place?
Instead of putting out fires, he's making heat.
I set fires for a living, dog. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fireman.
You know.
So anyway, you know, that started because, you know, once right after I graduated high school, my mother was housing us in Las Vegas, but she lived in California. So mm-hmm. I went ahead. I was kind of forced out there. I was a minority. I was a minor, you know, I was 17, so I didn't really have much of a choice. So I went out there. I found out I had a sister who was 24 who I met for the first time. And she.
When was that and how was that, man?
Oh, man, that was crazy. Like, I was at work one day and I, right? I have a twin sister. So she stays in contact with my father's side of the family. And she talked to my sister for like 5 or 6 years, I guess, before I actually knew she existed. Yeah, like I just be doing my own thing. So, she said, "You want to meet your sister?" And I'm like, "Wait, what? I got a sister?" Da-da. So I'm at work and they both pop in there and she looks just like me. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of weird now, because now I just thought there was only two of me, but there's three of me. So that's kind of crazy. Or I'm the male of the girl. It's majority of girls, so whatever, you know. But that, pretty much when I met her, she asked me what I wanted to be, and, you know, I think I just had an unjudged self-reflection moment because I just thought about, what do I want to be? And, you know, I felt, I don't know, I was starting over, I was starting a new life, and I've always wanted to be a rapper. Like, that's just what it was. I always wanted to make music, and so I said, I'm a rapper. And then they were like, oh, that's super cool. So I started rapping from there, you know. I didn't make any music out there, but I learned on my phone a little bit because, you know, we have a little app on the phones that lets you do, you know, all the technology these days. I made my first 8 songs came out on my phone. I made them somehow on a pair of Apple earphones, and it came out pretty good. Yeah, so.
So hold up. Okay. Your first 8 songs were done on a phone and Apple earphones.
Yep. I have an EP called the Late Night EP. That entire EP was recorded on a pair of Apple earphones in a room with no sound treatment. Yeah.
So if you are an artist that is complaining about not being able to get into a studio, your excuse has just been blown up.
Excuses.
Was it even AirPods by that point, or was it the ones with the string?
It was the string, man. I was like, you want to know how I was getting the mic to your mouth? Yeah, you want to know how at first I was recording over the thing? Here's what it would look like at first. I would take my phone, push record, and record it off of my laptop, like, while the beat's playing.
Shut up.
Yeah, so it sounds so, so horrible. But I would just, you would just hear some third world horribleness. So.
Well, see, that didn't stop you, though.
I mean, surely not.
We can talk about money all the time, but, like, that didn't stop you because, like, hey, becoming an artist is the toughest thing. I know it's like, you know, I've been, like, I'm not saying I even aspire to do it, but, you know, we used to goof off and stuff, but, like, you have to put a lot of time and effort into it.
Definitely,
but
yeah.
Even though we have excuses now, like, I think, you know, well, when's the last time you touched one of these things? Like,
a microphone? A real microphone. Oh, a nice cardioid mic, like the ones we're using now. I actually just spent, so recently I've been saving. I just dropped $2,000 on an entirely new studio, and I've never had this before because I just had this little tiny little baby microphone I was using for like $100 Audio Technica, and I finally
Audio Technica.
It's
like the Walmart of
right? Yeah, it cost me $120 or whatever, and I finally just saved up enough money to just get real studio equipment. So I'm so excited. I'm gonna be dropping a new EP with this nice new equipment called LOVE with it. It should be exciting.
Okay. Goosebumps when you first talked into the first microphone.
Oh my god!
Like, I felt like Superman. I can do something now.
Yeah. You sound like you know already. So, literally. Okay. So it's kind of like more like a joke until it's not a joke. So it's like, all right. So it's all cool when you're, you know, before you're like, yeah, I'm finna jump on the mic and start rapping, and then you hear that, you see that little red light turn on, and you're like,
You realize you gotta produce
stuff out your mouth, so it gets serious at that point. So yeah, pretty much, you know, that's kind of where it all starts, and of course, you know, it develops from there. But yeah, I would say it was a very thrilling experience to be able to hear my voice. It just gets I feel like the thing with microphones is because microphones are made to imitate reality. They're made to imitate real sound. And, you know, the better quality a microphone gets, the better it is at imitating reality. So I feel like the better my microphones get, I feel like the more of my actual self I hear in my music, because it's kind of hard to read my vision when I'm using a $90 microphone who picks up, you know, half of my actual voice.
Right.
Yeah. So pretty much I feel like that's kind of where I'm at now. I feel like I'm starting to get clarity, so I can almost compete with, you know, artists with that kind of money and financials to spend on a studio of $500 a night. I can't do that, so
right,
you know.
So you got to put a lot of literally a lot of sweat equity into what you do, right?
Because for sure.
How much is it to even try to get in a studio now? How much?
Man, it can range from like 60 an hour. Some people will literally tell me you can come in for 6 hours for $2,000. I'm like, I can't get half
studio.
A song. Yes, I'll buy my own studio. I can't even get half a song done in 6 hours.
Right.
So I'm really not. And then that's separate from the mixing and mastering fees.
Right.
So I'm not even doing that. So I'll just record my nice little mic until my music pays for me.
That's crazy. Okay, so first eight tracks. How many downloads you got? Or plays or.
Oh, so for my first, like, before I dropped my big track, I think what I would consider my big track before then, I would say I had an average of about. Probably about 17,000 total views from the first 12.
Between
all of my songs, yeah.
First 11?
Yeah, like the first 11 songs. Because I got about 8,000 on my first one, you know, like 5,000, 7, maybe like 20,000 in total.
Okay.
Yeah, because like 1,000 per, you know, something like that. So like, after that one song is when I really didn't. I didn't start getting numbers until Chopping to Draco, essentially.
And then the big boy. How many downloads?
I don't know how many downloads, but I do know. I only know how many plays.
Okay, how many plays?
How many plays? 107,000 107,000 is what it just hit recently. Actually,
what was it like?
You can see six figures on there.
That's 107,000 people. What?
What was it like to open up your phone and see six figures right there? Like, oh, snap.
Well, it was more like a growing process. I watched it go from 0 to 1,000 to 10,000 to 50 and then, eventually 100. But it was just amazing because I was like, dang, there's no way this song's going to keep growing. Like, there's just no way. It was at like 10,000. I'm like, all right, cool. I finally peaked, guys. Like, let's keep doing the next thing. And then I'm like, wait, 20? And then I wake up 2 weeks later. I'm like, Jazzy, this song is still, it's getting 7,000. Plays a week. Oh my god, what am I supposed to do? So I'm like, shoot, let's use that as momentum. Let's make something else. So.
He's got a gold single, right?
I'm like, yes.
Gold, right?
Right, yep. I'm trying to be that one hit wonder. So I'm gonna jump on that board and then take that train to the next place. So
it feels good, obviously. I mean,
definitely.
Because I mean, it's like going back to that. So that's, I think we talked, it's about a 16-month, 18-month.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so how many hours a week do you think you put in for that? Because, everyone's going to go 107,000, 17, I can do that. That's not a problem. Like, how easy was it? Like, that's the question you're going to get,
yeah,
right?
Of course, of course. So there's, I would say, let me break it down into a simple thing. I feel like there's three different essential things that go into the difficulty of trying to become a quote-unquote artist or rapper. I feel like, one, economically, it's a bit of a struggle because naturally, it's a joke always when somebody wants to make music until they're sitting there doing it for months by themselves, and it's not a joke. So it's that part when you're like, I feel like that part's difficult at first because I don't understand that I'm going to be by myself because success is a lonely road, And once you learn to accept that, it becomes a lot easier. I do feel like it is challenging. So back to what you're saying, I feel like I put in about surely like double a full-time job. I eat, sleep, and breathe music. That's what I do all the time. Like,
so worth it though, right?
It is so worth it. It's so gratifying because I feel like free. I feel free. I feel like myself because I'm living life by my own rules, I think. So it's kind of nice. It is definitely struggling because I'm my sole investor, I'm my sole artist,
So like, yeah. And you built that from the bottom up,
and,
right?
And you build it from the bottom up. Yes. Yeah. So it is hard for people also to, take that off track because you work so hard. It's like, no, I've seen the ins and outs of this. So if they say, your music's trash or whatever, I'll be like, I respect their opinion. If they have anything actually constructive to say a lot of the time when I ask people, then I will try to absorb that. But for the most part, if it's just, slander or hate, I just kind of move past that. Yeah. So mentally, it becomes easier. Work ethic wise, you have to be willing to put in that work. You have to in order to make music because it takes hours.
So do you do it just on your days off, just while you're
weekends? I do it every
weekends.
Day. Every day. I do it when I'm not working. I do it when I'm not vlogging because I do make vlogs too. So if I'm not vlogging, I'm making music from I can be making music. One time, I made music from with my buddy Pablo when I made Chopping a Draco, that whole EP. Or it wasn't an EP, it was going to be. But that whole last five songs before Chopping a Draco, I spent from about 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., went to work from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., spent 4 p.m. to 5 a.m. again. I'm talking like 16 hours at a time for just trying to get these songs out.
But you get in a zone though, right?
The
reason why you keep going is because the momentum,
the momentum builds.
Keep it going,
yes,
right?
Literally.
Because if you stop, it's like
I'm going to be in a different
scratch.
Place tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to have to warm my voice up tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be feeling the same way I felt now.
And it's fresh in your mind and everything.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Oh, we need to tweak this. We need to tweak that. I do that all the time. How many times have I told you already? Like, hey, we need to do this with this, right?
Yeah, because you're in the go. You already know. Yeah, definitely. So that's
cool. So I'm an up-and-coming artist. I'm 17 years old. I want to start up. I want to be the next 17. Like, what do I do? Like, main thing, if I could tell you, what would be the main thing you would tell me to focus on, other than obviously my music? Like, how do I get myself out there?
How do you get yourself out there? Consistency on social platforms is the most realistic way to get yourself out there because there's social algorithms to get you out there.
Okay.
If your music's good, it'll probably start to show through the way it spreads.
Okay, and you're vlogging out there. Obviously, the vlogging doesn't have to do with
music.
It's more a day in the life of, right?
Yeah. It's more so like following. What my camera guy likes to say is when they ask him what is he doing, he likes to say he's following around his favorite rapper. So I think that's what the structure of the vlog looks like more so because we try to base it around. I always have a song of the day, a song of the week in my vlogs. So kind of stuff like that.
That's cool.
That's really good. That's awesome.
So out of the 100,000 plus views, have people started to reach out to you? Like anybody big? Like
Nobody major really reaches out to you. I feel like my music, I feel like unless on social media, it doesn't translate well to my social media, my music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like the 107,000 views is cool, but my followers is very not translated through that.
Doesn't reflect.
It does not reflect. So that's also another frustration about music is because people, you know, it's kind of hard to get people to listen to your music, to like truly really give it a take, you know, and so it doesn't translate very well. What was your question?
have you been getting all these listens and stuff like that, like people reaching out to you, anything like that?
Yeah, no big like label executives or anything like that. So far, I'm independent. I do know a couple of, you know, famous people like Tony and Andres Lopez. You know, we do have some networking connections like that. You know, I'm sure Andres making music, so maybe we'll make a song together. You know, I never know, but I'm always ready. You know, I love making music, so.
That's good.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so you spend 1 week, favorite artist of all time.
Ooh.
You want to learn from him. Who's it going to be?
I
want
to learn. I think you guys know the answer to this. It's Drake, because I love Drake so much. He has really good, like I said, he's an intellectual artist, and he's articulate, intellectual, and I feel like he covers topics that I care about, so... You know, that's naturally we. Yeah,
and he reaches out to a lot of people.
He really does. Yeah. He's like
a lot of genres and demographics. Yeah.
He's one of those guys you listen to, and it's like 5, 6, 7, 8, 20 times you listen to that song. Yes. It's like, whoa, like I just pieced together what he said.
Yeah.
Like, whoa,
yeah.
Why didn't I catch that the first time?
Yes, I remember you were telling me, if there's an artist I do model after, that is something in art that I do try to model after, is I do try to make songs that age well. I try to make songs, well, I guess the word for it is timeless. I try to make songs that are beautiful. I try to make songs that are genuine. And I try to make songs that are honest. Yeah, and spread power, spread love and spread honesty. So, And I have said kind of aggressive things, like in my song Chopping a Draco. I was in an angrier place. But it was always honest.
Yeah.
It was always honest.
All right, cool. So I got to put you on the hot seat a little bit. I got to talk to you just because of what's going on. I did prep you a little bit about this, but hey, 20 years old, you're black.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of challenges that are going on. I know that there's a lot of things, especially being in the field and genre that you want to be in.
Right.
You get judged. That's all there is to it. So let me say that I could put 17 on a stage and have all of America listening right now, and you have the platform. What would you say to them?
I would tell America... Black Lives Matter. I would say that also. Yeah, I would definitely say that also. I would also tell, you know, America, I definitely think that there's a way to make change. I definitely think it's possible. I think it takes stepping forward and putting yourself standing out. If it requires standing alone, I think that's definitely what everybody should consider. And they should really, people I think should look at themselves. America, look at yourselves and reflect on who you are and who you want to be and what you want to see in the world and be that change. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Good stuff. Because, I mean, it's tough right now. And I want to hear from it. You know what I mean? It's just people always have their point of views and just don't want to be open-minded about it.
Yeah.
They want to defend it with what they believe and forget about all that crap. Just shut it all and let's just go. And that's good.
Yeah.
They don't want to be uncomfortable. They want to step out of the uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
It's hard to be uncomfortable. You know, I get it. It's easy to turn. It's easy to look away from things that you don't have to be a part of, you know. And unfortunately for what I believe, I don't think I can look away. So it sucks when I see one of my Caucasian friends looking away from something that I have to live on a daily basis, is because I just look at him and I go, dang, I wish I could do the same thing, but I can't because I'm black. So I feel like, you know, it's just a different set of rules I live by. I really do believe in systematic oppression, even if it is hard to see. You know, I've given this example before. It's kind of like, if you're a female, you might understand. You know, have you ever seen a female tell a man that they felt oppressed and a man didn't really quite understand that? You know, I feel like it's the same thing. I just kind of have to sit there and understand that sometimes it might be a little hard to see what I'm saying, because we might live in two different worlds, you know, because of the color of my skin. And I don't want to make everything about race, but at the end of the day, a lot of the systematic oppression weeds out races. Points out the races. Yeah, like, do you mind if I give a short kind of explanation? I was talking with a buddy the other day. I was having a conversation. He's a Caucasian man. And I was explaining to him how cultural oppression works, and he just could not understand where I was coming from. But this is the example I was giving to him. I was saying, so I asked him, how come I can't wear, you know, some jogger shorts and like my hair in a big foofy afro, you know, whatever, into a professional, a quote-unquote professional meeting setting, you know, like that. He's like, well, because it doesn't really look clean. And I'm like, you see, that's the culture of the way you do things, but we're my people, we really appreciate big afros, poofy afros, and, you know, saucy, what we call saucy clothes, you know what I'm saying? We could walk into a barbershop and get a job just like that, or any type of black cultural, you know, business. But I feel like, you see that right there, when he says, because it doesn't look clean, it immediately weeds out people like me. That immediate, as soon as he says, this is the standard of what I think might look clean, a collared shirt and da-da-da, immediately whoever's not wearing the collared shirt gets weeded out. And on accident, it becomes racism because he weeds out other cultures that don't wear collared shirts and have short, clean hair like this.
What's considered nicely dressed, right?
Yeah, what's considered nicely dressed.
In fact, I even talk about when I worked at Foot Locker. In fact, they always used to tell us in interviews, man, they used to tell us, like, hey, if they wear a nice shirt and tie, then they're probably good to go. I finally told people, like, dude, if they want a nice shirt and tie, they probably got something to hide.
Exactly.
Like, I'd rather, and to me, in my head, and they actually started adopting it where, hey, I want you to come as if you were a part of Foot Locker and you were, like, what would you be? What's your fashion sense? Because if you don't have fashion sense, then why are you going to work here? Because it's going to affect my business.
Don't wear dress shoes, wear sneakers.
Especially in Foot Locker. Yeah. Like, what is a suit going to do for you in Foot Locker?
Yeah, what is a suit going to do? Exactly.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So, I mean, it's like you had to express yourself, and then Foot Action started to do their thing.
Yeah.
And now it's just more of a casual look.
Yes, and I noticed business is getting more casual. You know, I think that definitely the culture, the ruling culture is definitely starting to integrate casual looks into the, you know, the culture. Because I think I see people walking into businesses with Huaraches on and Nikes on, you know, versus dress shoes and slacks.
Right. Yeah. So 17, you hung out with everybody in high school, didn't matter what they were, anything like that. Right. What did you notice on the individuals, how they treated you? What was one common characteristic between those that treated you as if you were one of their own?
A common characteristic between people that treated me like one of their own was that it always felt genuine. It felt like when people tried to treat me, it was either one of two things happening. It either felt very, very genuine, or they had an ulterior motive with hanging out with me because they wanted something from me. But for the most part, if I was hanging out with them, you know, any race, color, black, white, purple, yellow, I think that the common thing, the whole crayon box, yeah, I said that after the dude in Rapper's Delight, black to the white to the purple and yellow.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah. So yeah, I felt like I noticed a sense of authenticity when I hang out. Like when somebody I consider my best friend is definitely fully Caucasian, so I noticed that he's an authentic person. You know, I like authentic people because they give me a chance. They look past my color.
Yeah. So look past it. I mean, the conversation is, as we talk here, and like, and we're not going to make this a political piece, but right. From what it sounds like is, hey, you judge people how they are, who they are as individuals, and then you go from there. It's not about, don't make assumptions. Don't make assumptions, okay? Just because they have, like you said, baggy pants and they wear their hair differently, right? Or they decide to have a nice clean cut goatee and five earring. It doesn't matter. Just run with it, right?
Yep.
That's the biggest piece. Okay, so hot seat.
Hot seat time.
All right. Three on the hot seat. Three questions. First of all, hey, we'll keep it simple. You get one pass. Okay. I'll give you a one pass because then they're not going to be too crazy. But let's go with East Coast versus West Coast. Which one?
For sure the West Coast because I'm from here.
Okay, cool. Okay, so you're from L.A.?
I'm from Vegas, actually. Vegas? My family's from Chicago, but I'm from Vegas, so that's what it is for me.
Oh, okay, so let's go. You're from Chicago. Let's do...
Kanye. Oh. Sorry, go ahead.
Lakers or Bulls?
Oh, Bulls, for sure.
Bulls, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. And then... let's see, do you know this one? I might have to do this one. Bone Thugs and Harmony or Twista? You're going to go for Bone. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll answer this question.
That's that Midwest stuff, man. Yeah. That Midwest. We got that, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Joe's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know that. He
already knows. He's already on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw them in concert.
How was that?
Pete,
was
it, man?
Cool?
Yeah. It was good, man. They're real good.
Got excited. All right. And then, hey, $1 million. And you have to break up with your girlfriend.
Okay.
Or your girlfriend.
and I have to break up with my $1 million?
Exactly. You get one pass.
I'm breaking up with the money. I love you, Gia. I love you, but...
She was almost like, what the...
She does nothing for me.
She doesn't think she's going to hit you.
My money does nothing. She does nothing for me. It's a toxic relationship.
Hey, no, all good. You need those. You need people in your life that are supportive. So, all good. So, hey, man. Hey, 17, I appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Yeah, Sue's. Definitely. I think this one...
We've only done a few of them, but this one's I'm definitely going to like. And I'd love to see, like... This, see what happens. Are you making money off this yet? Like,
yes,
are you getting
I've actually
some money?
Gotten my first checks off of music recently. It
wasn't
like,
dude.
So, awesome. Like, after that's you lit. Get a couple thousand plays, you start getting pennies, and those pennies turn to dollars. So, it's awesome.
Hey, that's awesome.
Definitely.
We didn't touch it. What's your social media?
My social media is on Instagram at 17world, onesevenworld, and my Twitter at love17, love17, same thing.
Where can we find your music?
You can find my music on any professional platform. So whether SoundCloud. It be Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Music, Tidal, you can just look up 17 Nights. Even TikTok, go make some TikToks with them 17 songs. I'm going to do a free. If I see any TikToks with a 17 song, I will literally buy a pair of all white Vans, whatever size it is. And if it's a good dance and I can do it with you, I will buy you a pair of
Vans. Did you hear that right now?
Giveaway.
Giveaway. With a fresh pair of Vans.
Wow. You said it's 17 Nights?
17 Nights, yep. The opposite of daytime.
Okay. Yep. All good. All good.
That's
good
a challenge stuff. For you, JB.
All right. So,
I know you made the TikTok.
No, you got anybody.
All good. We'll put that in the description, right? We'll get
got
that all set up.
Absolutely.
He has a YouTube. He's got all that rolling on.
Yes,
right
YouTube.
Now.
I'll be vlogging too. So that's
your vlogs.
Yep, my vlogs. Just go ahead and type in. I know it's all spelled out. 17 and world. Just type in all three of those words and you should see me pop up.
Fired up.
Follow your favorite rapper for a day.
Hey, DM him. I know you'd be willing to talk to anyone that's aspiring through this, right? You'd
for
be able
sure.
to talk to him. So DM him, get that. If you know anyone that you think can pertain from this, hey, reach out, share this podcast. Hey, we're happy you just listened to this junk. So all good. So this is JB.
JP.
41.
And 17.
All coming at you. Next level mindset, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Remind you to chase greatness, find phenomenal, and dominate the day. Till next time. Next level mindset, baby. So remember, chase greatness, find phenomenal, and dominate the day. Till next time.